This is the Education Gadfly Show.
The Philadelphia Archbishop, who even called one day in May Voucher Sunday. So they're fighting a lot more for this now.
Isn't that a U2 song?
Now, here's your host, Mike Petrilli.
Hello, this is your host, Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute here at the Education Gadfly Show and online at edexcellence.net. And now, please join me in welcoming my co-host, the Mars Rover of the education policy world, Adam Emerson.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be back.
You know, you go out there, you look around, you're looking for signs of life in the school choice world.
Yeah, they're pretty easy to find. Probably a lot finer to find stuff on Mars.
Yeah, I know. That poor Mars rover. You know, I guess I haven't been watching the pictures. I guess I should. I hear there's pretty cool pictures going back and all that kind of stuff. But hey, until they find life, I'm just not that into it. You know what? I want to see, like, I mean, a fossil.
Like, rocks.
They find a dinosaur or something, that'd be cool. You know, bones. They don't have to be alive now, but, you know, just signs that there was life. Then I get interested. Things get very, I think suddenly that, you know what? That shakes up the election entirely. They find sign of life on Mars, I really
what
think.
Election?
The election. The presidential election. I think that becomes suddenly the October surprise.
Probably.
There's life on Mars. All right. It is back to school time. You can tell there is a lot happening. Let's get going. Ty is here to play Pardon the Gadfly.
A new study found that African-American New York City students who received vouchers to attend private schools were significantly more likely to go to college than those who didn't. Will this evidence sway public opinion and aid the spread of vouchers?
No.
Yeah, it's still going to be met with the same skepticism that greets a lot of school choice studies on this. The study itself is pretty ironclad. It is randomized. It is a randomized experiment. But as far as public opinion goes, there is still going to be the same skepticism there always is.
Well, look, so the Kampen poll recently found that there is now 44% of the country that's in favor of vouchers. And that's even when you ask the question in a very negative way. You
know, a lot higher than last year.
Public money for private expense, right? 10 points higher than last year. If you ask the question in a little more positive way, it goes even higher. So let's say maybe half the country is in favor of this. Look, you know, I think if you get the news out about the fact that there's more evidence that is working, is helping you get poor black kids into college, that might help on the margins. But look, I think there's just a lot of people out there who are never going to support vouchers, even if it, quote, works, because they just don't want money going to Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we ever get over that. Now, you know, Adam, you live in Florida. You were involved with the school choice program down there, the tax credit program. You had great success in getting the Democratic legislators on board with that. So how do you overcome some of those issues?
Well, we overcame a lot of those issues in Florida because we really made it an issue of social justice. And finally, there were Democrats who were very friendly to that prospect who could come on. But you're still talking about, you know, maybe a third of half the Democrats who could buy that. The rest is still like pulling teeth. I mean, it's just there's just going to be some skepticism that cannot be overcome no matter what evidence is at them. I mean, this remains just the most controversial effort you can put in front of people.
You know, it doesn't play out differently in Florida because the Catholic school presence isn't as large, and there's more about big black churches, Protestant churches.
Yeah, I mean, Catholic schools still represent the single biggest faith-based school in the program, but by and large, a lot more schools are coming on from parish schools, particularly black churches.
And Protestant schools. So some of these black legislators, you know, they have constituents or they themselves are black ministers and they run all kinds of
schools. Some start their own schools. Yeah.
And some start their own schools, right? I mean, that does happen. Mm-hmm. All right. So, look, it's a great study. Let's hope it impacts public opinion, but we're not banking on it.
Speaking of Catholic education, how is the Philadelphia Archdiocese rethinking Catholic schooling, and what does this mean for private school choice?
This is a pretty big deal. This is probably the first instance of an archdiocese or any diocese that is giving up total control over a big block of its schools. In this case, it's all high schools. The Philadelphia Archdiocese has basically turned to a newly formed foundation that says, we think you can do a better job with our high schools. We're giving control over to you. There have been other experiments in New York and Boston that devolve power, but ultimate power still stays within the Archdiocese. This is different. This is huge.
So Adam, do we know, some people have asked a question, is this partly about the unions? Because in some Catholic systems, there are unions, I believe, in Philadelphia.
Just like
the
Philadelphia.
Catholic schools are unionized. Is this a way to get out of the union contract?
Well, no, not really, because the unions, when the contract is done, they are still going to get to renegotiate with the archdiocese. So that's the one lever that the foundation is not going to be able to control there. But in the end, you know, decisions that are made about the academics, about the spending, the school system there is so dense that there's bound to be some efficiencies that a foundation like this can hire. And the foundation is headed up by a former Cigna Corporation chief executive. So this, you know, this is a guy who's bound to find something that can create some better efficiency.
So this is two times in a row we're talking about something about Catholic schools, and for good reason, right? I mean, this Peterson Chingo study finds that African American kids did much better, and most of those kids went to Catholic schools. And you know, the good news here, it seems like the Catholic school systems around the country are finally showing some fight. You know, that we're seeing some signs of life and trying some new things to stop the hemorrhaging, and it seems to be working. In Chicago, I believe they've stopped the closures. There's this move in Philadelphia. You've got some real activism in New York City. Some blended learning experiments going on. I mean, is this mean finally we're going to stop this terrible trend we've had for decades now of Catholic schools closing every year?
Well, Catholic schools are of course putting up much more of a fight. They are starting to embrace more digital learning initiatives than maybe they had in the past. And when it comes to school vouchers, they're also fighting a lot more for school vouchers than they had in the past. A lot of these programs, voucher programs or tax credit scholarship programs, when they started, Catholic schools just kind of gingerly stepped into the fray because they didn't want to rely on a revenue stream that may have been sued out of existence a couple of years or 3 years after the fact. So, but they're fighting more for it now, particularly the Philadelphia Archbishop, who even called one day in May Voucher Sunday. So they're fighting a lot more for this now.
Isn't that a U2 song, Voucher Sunday?
I'm sure it will be.
Okay, topic number three.
Education has unexpectedly emerged as an issue in the presidential campaign this week. Should we expect schools and school spending to influence the election?
You know, it was a big deal recently, but I don't know that we're going to continue to hear this too much. I mean, first of all, the Romney-Ryan camp doesn't want to talk about education too much, partly because they don't have that many differences at the end of the day with Obama on the policy stuff. And it's probably a harder case to make to say, hey, when we're talking about reining in the budget, education's on that list. Obama has more incentive to talk about it, you would think, because he's able to say, hey, these meanies want to cut school spending, raise your class size. The trick is, you know, that the PDK poll showed that if you ask voters, what do you care more about, reining in the deficit or spending federal money on education, they said reining in the deficit. So if Obama talks about this, it may be not so much because he's talking to independents and trying to win over people in the middle as fire up his base. And I think that mostly the Paul Ryan pick has given the Obama administration and the unions a chance to go to their rank and file members, to the teachers, and say, this is why you should be manning the phone banks, knocking on doors, doing all the grassroots work this fall. It's not because of big debates around No Child Left Behind. It's because Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney want to come in and cut your school spending. Your school budgets are already being cut, and that's why you should get out the vote. And I think that's going to be pretty salient. Whether we hear a big talk about that in public, I'm not sure, but there's going to be a lot of talk about that behind closed
doors. We'll probably see a lot more skirmishes, though, like we did this week. I mean, we're probably going to see a lot more nitpicking at some education policy, but will it come up in the debate very much? I'm kind of skeptical about that.
Yeah. I do hope if Barack Obama wants to talk about class size in a presidential debate, I hope that Mitt Romney's team is ready for Mitt to quote Arnie Duncan, who has talked at length about how we have to take on the sacred cow of class size and that we have to get over our concerns about raising class size at every level, that sometimes it's the smartest thing to do.
Precisely.
Okay, thanks for playing Pardon the Gadfly. Now it's time for everyone's favorite, Amber's Research Minute. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mr. Sickly. We're giving you grief. Take some drugs.
All right. I know. I need to take care of myself. So since we've last met, Amber, you've been perusing Peru, doing good works, I understand.
Good works, yes. Helping some poor people. So it makes you grateful when you get back to the States.
Yes. We have poor people here.
Yes, we do. But they have water and electricity and usually cell phones and a TV.
Yes.
So it's a little different in Peru.
All right. Not that it's fun being poor
not
in America.
Not that it's fun. I didn't say that.
For those of you who are poor out there listening to the Education Gadfly show on your iPads.
It's just relative.
You know,
that's
it sucks.
All.
Okay. All right. What you got for us this week?
So you took my steam a little bit with your PDK references, but I'm going to trot on anyway. We got the 44th annual PDK Gallup survey. Checker kindly enough reviewed it already for Gadfly this week. So, gosh, gotta love when that happens. So I'm just picking up, stealing from him on some top six highlights. One, support for the Common Core. 50% say it'll improve the quality of education. 8% say it'll decrease it. 40% say no effect, of which Shecker's comment was, wonder if these people even know what it is. However, there was a don't know option, so we'll see. Number two, teacher evaluations are contentious as ever. They're basically split right down the middle on whether academic results should be used in teacher evaluations. Number three, charters are a little more partisan than they have been in the past. Support declined a little bit. I think it was 70% in 2011, 66% this year. The pollers say the GOPs are more in favor, 80%, Dems at 54%. Before, we didn't see as much of a difference between the parties. Four, you talked about already, more voucher support. It went up by about 10 percentage points over last year, even though it was... Here's the question. Do you favor or oppose allowing students and parents to choose a private school to attend at public expense? Yeah, so...
Simple and straightforward.
Yes. Number five, two-thirds. This is another point. So they'd be willing to pay higher taxes to improve public schools. But then when you say, basically, whose problem is that? The majority say that they want to balance the federal budget, 60% over improving education. I guess in 1996, when we were in much flusher times, two-thirds actually chose improving education over that. And then finally, compared with 4 years ago, the 2012 presidential election finds most folks divided over who's going to be the better candidate for public education. 2008, it was Obama over McCain by quite a margin, but pretty decent margin. Now it's more split. Obama 49, Romney 44. Independents, however, tend to favor Romney.
Adam, what do you take of this polarization of charter schools and the charter school issue? I mean, it looks like I think the Democratic support dropped quite significantly.
Yeah, but I can't say that I'm all that surprised. There has been a lot more grassroots groups who have come up and really raised some noise state to state on a lot more voucher support, particularly as public schools have been hit a lot harder too. So, I mean, charter schools have come across their own criticism too in the last couple of years, and at some point that's going to take some toll on public opinion. But in the end, it's still a little surprising that it dipped that much in 1 year.
It's interesting. I mean, I feel like we have more groups on the left arguing for reforms like charter schools, like Students First, and like Democrats for Education Reform, and I wonder, you know, this intra-party debate now in the Democratic Party, if there's something like, you know, some of the base of the Democratic Party feels like it has to now be against charter schools because it's engaged in this holy war. I don't know.
Well, it'll be an interesting time to make it a wedge issue.
So. You know, now in the Common Core, Amber, you know, I feel like if you asked a bunch of policy wonks on any intervention, you know, what's the chance that this thing will work versus have no effect? I mean, probably the smartest thing to ever say is most likely it'll have no effect, right? Nothing ever works.
It's pretty much what it looks like in education.
That's what it looks like. Except for vouchers, we find out.
Yes, there you go.
Except for vouchers.
And teacher effectiveness, quality teachers, they have an impact too.
So. All right. Although, you know, big part of the conversation around this voucher study is that the effects on vouchers is way bigger than the effects for quality teachers, which is interesting. And more akin to the class size results from the Project STAR, at least for African-Americans. Kids. So that's kind of interesting too.
It's a much more expensive intervention.
Yeah. I mean, but look, I mean, the Common Core thing, it's, you know, there's plenty of reason to be skeptical of any kind of national effort to improve our schools. Rick Hess, our buddy Rick, made a good point in his blog that No Child Left Behind started out with a lot of optimism as well. That faded when the rubber meat hits the road. And, you know, I think as parents come in and see that Common Core means that the kids are getting assigned stuff that's a lot harder, the kids are failing more, that they're not doing well in the tests.
And the teachers are going to feel like it's their fault and they don't want to feel that way. So, yeah.
So it is not going to be as popular.
What have we ever liked? I'm trying to figure out what sort of innovation or policy initiative in education that has ever endured and people have liked.
Class size reduction.
Well, okay. All right. Other than that.
caring teachers.
Caring teachers, right.
Always pulls well.
Yes, this is true. And safe schools.
Safe schools, yes.
There you have it. What everybody loves in education.
All right. We've figured it out, Amber.
We're
done. Figured out really a policy agenda here.
Ooh.
Caring teachers and safe schools.
Simple and cheap.
Yeah, I think that's what it should be all about. All right, guys, that is all we have the time for this week. Thanks for joining, and thanks for your advice on getting myself well. Until next week.
I am Adam Emerson.
And I'm Mike Petrilli of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, signing off.
The Education Gadfly Show is a production of the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, located in Washington, D.C. For more information, visit us online at edexcellence.net.